Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And this segment, joining us, will be Auditor Suzanne Bump. She is, I believe, on the line. Auditor, are you there?
I am. Hello there.
Good evening. And first and foremost, how are things going in the auditor's office this day?
Oh, things are terrific in the auditor's office. We have done some exciting things in the past few days in terms of releasing audits that are, I think, in one case, very new for us, since we looked at several agencies that all are participating in efforts to reduce childhood obesity. And another audit that we put out that looked at the state's efforts to integrate into one agency all of the prescription drug purchasing and prescription filling that gets done across a number of agencies like the Department of Mental Health and the Corrections Agencies, and found a number of deficiencies there. So we're quite busy in the auditor's office.
And just in case folks do not know, what is the general purpose and role of the state auditor's office?
Well, what we do is essentially follow the money and then ask a series of other questions that enable us to get a good understanding of what is going on, what is not happening in state agencies, how effectively they are spending public money, how efficiently they're doing that job, how well they are protecting public property. And we try to make recommendations, not just to the agency, but also back to the legislature. If an agency has gone seriously off track, maybe they need to have some of the laws that govern the operation changed, so that we can be sure that taxpayers are getting the best value and that we are effectively delivering services.
What was it about the office that in 2010 you decided to run for? And, of course, you're seeking a second term this year.
Well, years ago, I was a state representative from the town of Braintree and got the opportunity to participate in policy making, and that was an exciting experience. I came back into government with Governor Patrick and was the cabinet secretary in charge of labor and workforce development, and there I was in charge of ensuring that the public policy that was embodied in the laws that were being passed was being carried out, and that we were getting good results. And in that capacity, I was looking at what kind of information do agencies need so that they can really make sure that they're targeting the right strategies, that we're serving the right people, that we're meeting people's needs, particularly in workforce training areas, skills training areas, so that folks who have lost their jobs in industries that have become obsolete could match up with programs to prepare them for new jobs. I was concerned about how effectively money was being spent. And as I was looking at government operations, I was thinking, you know, there really has to be more of an emphasis on results, not just counting how many things we do, but assessing how well we do them. And that's the role of the auditor. So that's what caused me to do something I never thought that I would ever do, which is run for office again, and particularly at the state level. But it's been just the most rewarding experience to be able to serve the public in this way.
Now, of course, the person who preceded you was there for a lengthy amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to go in. Did you have to do any certain changes or any updates? What did you do once you took office and that we've seen over the past 4 years?
Well, I knew that after 24 years, it was time to take a fresh look at the operation of the auditor's office. And one of the ways that state auditors can be sure that they're doing their best work is by being regularly reviewed through the State Auditors Association through a so-called peer review process. So the State Auditors Association assembles a group of auditors from other states, and they come in and they look, they assess the competence and the training of your staff. They look at your policies and procedures, at your record keeping, how it is that you decide what it is that you're going to audit, figure out what data you're going to use in order to do your assessments, who you're going to interview, and then how you document what you find at any rate. You know, a long, detailed process of overseeing our work, and they found that the office wasn't meeting the standards that are set by the federal government. So that really, it was kind of demoralizing for the staff to feel that, but it certainly was helpful to me to bring about the change that I could see myself was needed in a shortened time frame. So within just a matter of a couple years, we completely professionalized the office, changed virtually all of our audit policies and procedures, got new skills training and new technology so that we can better analyze all of the different kinds of information we get about government operations. And so just a few months ago, a new peer review came in because we do this now every 3 years, and we went from getting the bottom rating in 2011 to getting the top rating in 2014. So that's been a great morale boost as well, because people have been working really hard in our office to get their skills up and to be able to do higher quality auditing that goes deeper into agency operations.
Is there some kind of a follow-up process? I mean, how do you, once an audit is completed, how do you make sure that any recommendations that are put forth regarding a particular agency or whatever you may be auditing is getting accomplished?
Well, we don't have in the auditor's office the power to compel an agency to undertake any of our recommendations, whether it's how they manage their cash, if it's, for instance, a courthouse that takes in fees. We say, geez, you know, you're not doing a very good job of making sure that you're accurately accounting for all of the money, or if it's the Mass Health Department, and we say, you've really got to put some controls on the use of this particular benefit because we think it's being abused. They don't have to do any of the things that we recommend. But if you are a strong and credible auditor, and you're willing to use the bully pulpit a little bit and call agencies out, and then you go back 6 months later and you check, then we're finding that we're getting a good level of compliance. When we go back now, as we do after 6 months, we see that we have a 90% rate of agencies complying with our recommendations. Sometimes it's possible that we will recommend something that just doesn't turn out to be feasible. Often that has to do with funding. So the agency needs to look to the legislature to help it do a better job. But we're pretty pleased that our audit recommendations are being taken seriously.
Again, we are speaking with State Auditor Susan Bump, as she is a guest here on the Monday Night Talk. Give me some examples. I think we actually started off earlier in the conversation. You kind of gave one example of something that had taken, a couple of things that had been reported this week. Give some examples of some audits that have been done either over the past year or even some that are most notable that folks might remember, whether it's the DCF or the DTA. Please, if you would share.
Sure. I'll take the couple that you have mentioned. Over a year ago, we released an audit of the Department of Transitional Assistance, which provides what we commonly call welfare benefits and food stamp benefits. And we looked at whether they were effectively preventing fraud and then detecting fraud. So fraud prevention comes in terms of asking the question, well, are you checking the eligibility for all of your applicants? You know, you have to be income eligible. You have to reside in the state. You also have to be who you say you are. And we found that that there were thousands of people who were getting benefits or who were getting benefits for a child, but the Social Security number they were using belonged to someone who was deceased, which suggests fraud. So they weren't always checking on Social Security numbers, which meant that ineligible people potentially were getting on the rolls. Then we also found that they weren't using all of the fraud detection tools that they had, because they benefits aren't given out in cash. They are loaded onto a so-called electronic benefits transfer card, an EBT card, which is like a debit card. And they are able to look at all of the transactions that are being made to see when the benefits are being used and where they're being used. And if you use those reports that the system generates, you can see people that are using the benefit out of state all the time, for instance, or they are using their food stamp benefit at the local convenience store attached to a gas station. Well, you're probably not really feeding your family if you're spending $200 in one day at a convenience store at a gas station.
Right.
Those are signals of possible abuse, and the agency wasn't making use of those. So as a result of that audit, they've made a number of internal changes. Our audit recommendations also figured into legislation that was passed this year to strengthen the integrity of the programs at the Department of Transitional Assistance, because the legislature obviously is concerned as well about fraud and abuse in these programs, and we need them to work properly. Taxpayers deserve integrity in these programs, but so do the people who rely upon the programs for support. Because if stories in the paper on a weekly basis are about abuse of those benefits, well, taxpayers aren't going to want to fund them anymore. So it's important from that point of view. At the Department of Children and Families, what we found was an agency that was seriously under-resourced, by which I mean there weren't enough social workers. They didn't have access to electronic record-keeping so that they could more easily carry out their work so that kids could be tracked through the process. And those records are important as well for managers to oversee their work. If you don't have complete records, you don't know whether children are getting the required medical exams. You don't know if the foster homes into which children are being placed have had criminal background checks done on the residents of the homes. So the agency is right now the subject of a lot of discussion in the gubernatorial debate. And the reality is that this is an agency that wasn't necessarily being mismanaged. It was being under-resourced. Nobody likes to pay for bureaucracy, but it is essential to ensure that that programs are meeting their goals. And in this case, the goal of that agency is to protect children from abuse and neglect. So those are examples of sort of typical audit work where we go in and say, hey, is this working? Is this agency meeting its mission? And often we find problems in doing so.
I was going to say, again, we are speaking with Suzanne Bump. She is the auditor here in the Commonwealth. We got a couple of minutes left with you, Auditor. I guess what would you say would be some of the achievements that you're most proud of since becoming auditor and that you want to let voters know about come November 4th when it comes time to elect you for another 4 years?
Well, I said that I was going to professionalize the office, and I certainly have been able to do that, and you don't have to take my word for it. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak, and the rating that we got from the State Auditors Association. We are auditing at the highest possible levels of government auditing, and I'm very proud of that, and that's to the benefit of the taxpayers. And more specifically, to the benefit of the taxpayers, over the past 4 years, my office has identified $400 million worth of broken systems, of misspending, of inefficiencies, and in some cases, outright fraud. And we have done a better job of detecting ourselves public assistance fraud and prosecuting those cases and putting people in jail for the first time ever for food stamp trafficking fraud. Additionally, we've worked with the legislature in many pieces of legislation to have our audit findings turned into remedies in the law. We've done that with special education collaboratives, with the state's anti-bullying programs, with public housing administration, with child protection. It's a long list of areas of government that we have been able to impact. This is just an unprecedented level of impact that the auditor's office has had over the past 4 years. And I'm really proud of that and want to be able to continue that work on behalf of the taxpayers. I want them to have confidence in government. And to do that, you've got to show that government is willing to examine itself and fix itself when things are going off track.
And we just got a couple of moments left here. What are you hearing out there on the campaign trail? How does this campaign differ from 4 years ago, which I believe was like an open seat? So
it was an open seat. It's frankly, it's very different. I was honored. I got with the vote of confidence that I got from my colleagues in the Democratic Party that I did not have a Democratic primary challenger. 4 years ago, there were three of us running for the Democratic nomination. I do have, as I did 4 years ago on the ballot with me, a Republican and a Green Party candidate. But even at that, the level of interest has not been as high as 4 years ago. And frankly, I think that's because there's a general recognition that I've done a good job. And unlike 4 years ago, the Republican challenger simply doesn't have the same kind of background that the Republican did for 4 years ago. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm working very hard. Even while I'm running the office, I have been out at over 100 campaign events in more than 50 cities and towns, and there'll be many more that I will that I'll visit between now and Election Day.
Anything else you want to tell the voters? I mean, you are a South Shore girl, so it's not like you don't know this area and you don't know the people.
No, I, as a matter of fact, grew up in Whitman, went to school at St. Bridget's in Abington and Cardinal Spelman in Brockton, and family still lives there. Brockton will continue to hold a very special place in my heart, the area of the whole area of Brockton. And it's the values that that my parents brought me up on, integrity and hard work and doing right for others and by others, and those things have stood me well in the work that I've done in government.
If somebody wants to get involved with the campaign, or if they want to follow what the campaign is doing, maybe you might be doing some visits around the South Shore. How can they find out more information?
The best place to look is my website, which is www.suzannebump.com.
Well, Auditor, we want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Kevin.
And we'll hope to have you back on once everything is done on November 4th.
Terrific. Terrific. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.